I'm going to read the first chapter and then seek with God's help to explain it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Let's pause to pray as we come to God's word this evening. Our gracious God, we want to thank you for your living and your life-giving word. We pray, Lord, as we turn to this passage, that you would help us to know what it means, both to know the gospel and to live the gospel out and to speak the gospel to those who so desperately need to hear it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Authentic. Authentic. It's one of those words that we love to use today. Authentic, whether it's an authentic experience or an authentic recipe or an authentic person. We all want something that's authentic, genuine. And the last thing that we want is to have something or someone that's a fake. And yet almost as soon as something is described as being authentic, you can almost be certain that it's not, like an authentic Italian pasta sauce that's been made in Dungannon. Or in an authentic Irish pub in the middle of Las Vegas. Almost as soon as we use that word authentic, we can be sure it's not authentic at all. And well, when it comes to the question of authenticity, isn't it when we think of the church that that word takes on new significance? Sadly, there are plenty of the fake variety of churches around. Plenty of the fake variety of Christians too. Churches where you might see a lovely ornate building full of lovely ornate people, but very little that's true to the teaching of the Bible. And as we come to 1 Thessalonians this evening, it's that question of authenticity that's in view. What does an authentic Christian look like? What does an authentic church look like? Because I don't know about you, but the last thing I want to be found doing is faking it. By way of background, it's helpful to know that as Paul is writing this letter, he's writing in the midst of a crisis. Paul and his team had come to the city of Thessalonica. They'd preached the gospel wonderfully. People had been saved. But Paul had only been there for a matter of 3 weeks or so, and then persecution forced him and his team to leave, and he ends up 200 miles away to the south in the city of Athens, and he's unable to get back to this fledgling young church. How would this baby church survive in the midst of this hostile city? And Paul's solution, in part, was to write this letter that we have today, 1 Thessalonians. He wants to encourage them, strengthen them in their faith. And notice how that encouragement just flows from the outset. Look again at verses 2 and 3. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is thankful for them. But he's not just generally thankful. He gets very specific, doesn't he? He narrows in on their faith, their love, and their hope as being noteworthy of praise. In fact, that little triad of three, faith, love, and hope, they come up a few times in the New Testament, like 1 Corinthians 13, Colossians 1. It's a little hallmark or a little trademark of authenticity. Maybe we go to that next slide. You know when you see this little symbol, the little R, the little TM beside a product, a registered trademark, you know that what you have in your hand is something that's legitimate. It's genuine. It's not cheap, some cheap knockoff. It's real. It's authentic. And faith, love, and hope, they act a little bit like that for the Christian. These are a trademark of authenticity. And notice what faith, love, and hope look like in practical terms. In verse 3, it's their work that's come about because of their faith. See the connection? Their labor is the result of their love. Their endurance is because of their hope. In other words, how can you spot faith, love, and hope? Well, you can see it in someone's life. To put it simply, authentic faith gets busy. Authentic faith gets busy. And Paul continues to affirm them in their faith when he says in verse 4, and he could barely put it more plainly than this, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you." He's chosen you. Paul is sure that they're chosen by God. And then he gives two big reasons, as you can see there on the screen, two big reasons why Paul is sure. First, their acceptance of the gospel, and second, their sharing of the gospel. Notice first, their acceptance of the gospel. See how the gospel message came to them in verse 5. "Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction." The gospel didn't come to them as some new theory that was debated on repeat endlessly. No, the gospel came to them with power and deep conviction by the Holy Spirit. It was clear that as Paul and his team preached the gospel, the Holy Spirit was powerfully at work in their lives. And the power of the gospel is also seen in the response of the Thessalonians to the gospel. Look at verse 6. "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." They welcomed the message despite severe suffering. Katya and I have been watching a show recently on National Geographic featuring this fella, if you wouldn't mind showing that next slide. This guy's called Hazen Audo. I don't know if you've watched this show, anybody, Primal Survivor. This guy, he's one of those crazy people who likes to be outdoors and survivalist. And so he's walking on this crazy journey through the Amazon jungle, and he's walking barefoot the whole way. He's getting eaten alive by biting bugs and insects. He's getting cuts and sores that get easily affected in the tropical environment. He's eating things that are still wriggling whenever he puts them into his mouth. And you know, when you're sitting at home with the feet up on the sofa and the fire lit, it makes for great watching. But ask me to join him there in the midst of the Amazon and his suffering, not a chance. Because that's our natural human response, isn't it? We naturally have an aversion to suffering. And that's what shows the power of the gospel here. Because the Thessalonians welcomed the gospel message despite the severe suffering that they were going through. And what does that show? This shows it's the power of God at work in their lives. This isn't human. This isn't a human response. Paul is sure that the Thessalonians are authentic Christians because of their acceptance of the gospel, but secondly, sure because of their sharing of the gospel. Have a look again at verses 7 and 8. "And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it." The Thessalonians, they'd become a model in Macedonia and Achaia. That was modern-day Greece. The gospel was clearly seen in how they lived their lives. But notice they weren't just living out the gospel. They were declaring, sharing, speaking out the gospel. the Lord's message, or you may have in your translation that the word of the Lord rang out from them. They were active in speaking about Jesus and all that he had done for them. And they were so effective in their evangelism that their faith wasn't just known in modern-day Greece. Paul goes as far to say that their faith had become known, verse 8, everywhere. You can just imagine the apostle making his way as he did from place to place and coming across Christians and recounting his journeys, his missionary travels. And he maybe perhaps said to somebody, "And we had an amazing time in Thessalonica. You wouldn't believe the people and their response there," and then being interrupted. "No, you don't need to say any more, Paul. We've heard all about those Christians in Thessalonica. We've heard all about their faith. They're real Christians. We've heard how they share the gospel." And what was it the people were hearing about the Thessalonians? Well, verses 9 and 10, "For they themselves report what kind of reception you give us. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." See, the Thessalonians, they'd given up their life of sinful idolatry. And they turn away from dead idols to the living and true God. They had been rescued by Jesus from the coming wrath. And they were so thrilled about all that Jesus had done for them that they couldn't help but share it abroad. It's been a couple of years since the war in Ukraine began, sadly. Obviously, with my wife being Russian, we've got a particular interest in how things are sadly progressing or not progressing there. And like many towns in Ireland, in Belturbet, we've had a lot of Ukrainian refugees who've come to make Belturbet their temporary home. One such refugee is a lady called Tanya. Tanya came along to us one Sunday morning back in November. She found us online, came along, and through translation apps and things like that, was trying to figure out how to worship along with us on a Sunday morning. We got to know Tanya quickly, and she was so keen to get involved in serving in the church. She was thrilled, get this, when she asked if she could clean the toilets, and we said, "Yes, you can clean the toilets, sister." She was delighted for some way that she could serve in the church. She was getting stuck in, and not only was she serving practically, she was speaking the gospel to all the other Ukrainians who've made Belturbet their temporary home. In fact, last Sunday, I did a quick head count looking around the church. Not only was Tanya there was four other Ukrainians with us last Sunday, two of whom are for sure not Christians. Four other people who she had personally invited to come to church. Like I said, we're fumbling through with translation apps trying to communicate with Tanya. But one thing that we do not need a translation app for is this: to know whether Tanya is an authentic Christian or not, right? You can just see it. It's obvious. It's obvious for how she lives the gospel out and how she speaks the gospel out. Tanya has been a real encouragement to us, and for sure an answer to your prayers if you pray for us regularly. But here's the challenge for all of us. Is the gospel making that kind of an impact on our lives? When people look at Newcastle Baptist Church, I don't know if you ever do this, have a thought about what people see when they look at your church. I do this for Belturbet Baptist regularly. Don't you want them to see something of what was in the Thessalonians here? Don't you want them to see that? Don't you want them to see that here are people, despite the severe suffering that they face, whether it be health struggles, whether that be relational struggles, whether it be the loss of a job, whatever it is that you're going through, when they see you going through that suffering, they can say there's something different. Because despite that suffering, they've got joy in the Holy Spirit. Don't you want people who look in at Newcastle Baptist to see that there's people who are so passionate about their Lord that they actually want to tell other people about him? And that's what I want people to see whenever they look in at Belturbet Baptist Church. You know, we could stick a sign out the front of our church. I'm sure you could do the same. Newcastle Baptist Church, an authentic church. We could stick a sign out like that, but you know, nobody would believe us. But you know what they will believe? When they see the gospel lived out from our lives and spoken from our lips, there won't be any need for a sign, will there? Because they'll be able to see the authenticity of our faith. Shall I pray and ask for the Lord's help that in Bilturbet and Newcastle we might be those kind of Christians? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this glorious gospel that you have given to us. We thank you for our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for all that he achieved through his life, his death, his resurrection, indeed his ascension to the right hand of you, our Father. We praise you for our mighty Savior, Jesus. We praise you for the glorious gospel about him. And we pray, Lord, that that gospel would make such an impact in our lives that people would see the authenticity of our faith. Would you do that work in us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that people may know and delight and rejoice in our Savior too. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.